this time. I will invite up the confirmands one at a time to share their statements of faith. And their mentors who have walked with them these past 2 years will also join them at this time. So up first is Rachel Kraft and her mentor, Susan Wright.
Being a mentor, you realize that the person you're mentoring is sort of mentoring you, which is a good thing. And I learned some pretty valuable things, I think, from Rachel. One of them being, number one, how to relax. One for me. Number two, how to leave your worry behind. And number three, how to take your time. Also, number four, how to just say no to green vegetables. I want to thank Rachel for allowing me to get to know her a little bit, for making me laugh, for her honesty, for her dry and hilarious sense of humor, and always showing me kindness and respect. My prayer for you is that your faith will continue to grow, that you will never forget that God is with you wherever you go, and that you will take time in this crazy, busy world to just be with him in prayer, knowing that God is always listening and directing your path. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. So I'm so happy to introduce Rachel Kraft.
Grateful to have gotten to know Layla through our mentor confirmation program. Layla and her family first came to Emmanuel through our preschool program, which her younger sisters attended, and Layla was a VBS volunteer when they attended VBS before even joining Emmanuel. I remember being so impressed with Layla's cheerful VBS service, as well as her dedication to her family. Before I even got to know her through confirmation program, this is what I saw in her. To know Layla and her family is to know their devotion to each other and to family. It's been a pleasure to watch them growing up and growing in faith. Layla loves her sisters, as well as soccer and scary movies, Starbucks and frozen yogurt, and Justin Bieber. And she hopes to pursue a career in the health or medical field after attending the medical careers courses at Sonora. I've enjoyed partnering with Layla as we have reviewed our lessons. We have studied the Bible together, learned about God's power and grace and mercy. We've gotten to know each other and to deepen our relationship with God. With Layla, I was able to more fully appreciate the miracles of Jesus' birth, ministry, death, and resurrection, to see them with a new perspective, which made them new again and even more amazing. And we found that God, again and again, in his great wisdom, he chooses the weak, the poor, the powerless, and the marginalized to do his work and to deliver his messages. That we have only to call on God to empower us with his spirit when we need strength or courage or comfort during our current and future challenges. Layla, today, as you are confirmed and as you make your way through high school and college years and beyond, I and we of Emmanuel will continue to keep you in our prayers. We pray that your faith will grow strong, that you will walk in the light and love of Christ, that you will make time for prayer and worship and Bible study, that you will feel God's power, presence, and peace throughout your life, and that God will bless and guide and smooth your path. Amen.
I believe in God and Jesus, but sometimes I feel like the Bible doesn't make sense, but I will still continue to learn and put all the information together. I believe that God is Jesus' Father, Mary is Jesus' Mother, and I believe that Jesus died on the cross to forgive our sins. Sometimes I feel lost in the Bible and in my faith, meaning nothing makes sense. But I have learned that with all my doubts, I have grown to have many gifts, such as singing. But for now, I guess you could say my faith is getting there one step at a time. But not only does the Bible and church make up my faith, so do my actions. Ever since I've started coming to Emmanuel, I came out of my comfort zone. I feel like going through the confirmation program and being involved in church activities has shaped me to be the person I am today. After I'm confirmed, I plan to continue to go to church with my family and be a role model to my three younger sisters, as well as keep my bond with my mentor, Denise, because she is someone that I can trust. And with all of this, I plan to grow in my learning of what I really believe in.
Next up is Savannah and her mentor, Jeanette Parr.
I met Savannah about 3 years ago when we were preparing for Vacation Bible School. She had come with Emily Beard and was helping make sashes for everyone at VBS. Since I have minimal artistic talent, I asked if she would use hers to help me with a sash. The sash she created for me has flowers and the word hope on it. I've kept this with me all this time as I think of Savannah and how kind she was to someone she'd never met. In 2017, I was offered the privilege of becoming her confirmation mentor, which I gratefully accepted. Savannah and I met regularly and shared our faith journey. I discovered she is an excellent student. She dances, she sings, she choreographs, she has graphic design ability, and is dedicated to her commitments. We often discussed our faith and how it relates to our lives and our world. And my faith, as well as hers, grew during that time. I look back at this sash with hope on it and realize that she has taught me a great deal and inspired hope in me for our young adults in this congregation. I am pleased to introduce Savannah Ellis.
In writing my statement of faith, the first question I asked myself was, what is faith? With the help of Google search and a well-needed nap, I came to the conclusion that faith is trusting that everything will be okay and you will be taken care of. To be honest, I struggled with whether I even had faith or not. For most of my childhood, I wasn't taken care of very well. There were many nights I went hungry, many nights I was alone and lost, and many nights I didn't know where to sleep. But somehow I knew I was going to be okay. and I was okay, and I'm doing even better now. I was being taken care of by a God that I thought had abandoned me, but he was there. He was there, and my mother, who provided whatever she could to keep me safe. She was there, and Emily Beard and her family, who always fed me and kept me company when I was alone. And he was certainly here in Emmanuel, with Jeanette, who guided me and supported me in everything I did, and everyone else here who has loved me and prayed for me. I believe I am saved by the Holy Spirit. I believe that I am protected. I believe everything will be okay. With my newfound faith, I will go forth, unafraid, taking my chances when they come, with the Lord beside me.
Good morning. It's been my privilege to be confirmation mentor to Gavin Herman these last 2 years, and I'm very happy to be able to introduce him as he is about to make his affirmation of faith. It's been a pleasure to be around him and to get to know him while he studied and struggled a bit, I think, and grown in faith to this point. We've had some really interesting conversations I've really enjoyed about life and education and our Christian faith and other faiths. He is a very impressive young man. I haven't met anyone his age before who's so aware of what's going on in the world and how people are treated and to ask and answer such hard questions. What really strikes me about Gavin is how sensitive he is to how people are treated, to fairness and just what is true, and justice. And I think I'm a better person for having known him these couple of years. And I want him to know that I'm always available to him if he wants to talk or needs something at any time, just to ask. So I think Gavin is ready to go. Let me introduce Gavin Herman to make his statement of faith.
My name is Gavin Herman. Me and my family have been attending this church for over 10 years. We typically sit in the back. We used to sit in the middle left section, for those of you who are keeping track. My little sister plays the tambourine in the band at the end of church every Sunday. This year, my family helped orchestrate the Easter Sunday breakfast, and today I would like to share with you my faith journey. I was asked to find a Bible verse that spoke to my faith, and I decided on Matthew chapter 7, 1 through 4. It reads, "Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' when all the time you have, there is a plank in your own eye?" I'd like to focus on the first two verses for now. When I started confirmation, I never knew why I was there. I wasn't open to what I could possibly learn. My faith had been at an all-time low, and all I saw Christians in media were people who preached non-acceptance. I had never even seen that in my own church, and yet I still believed that most Christians were just hateful. When I first started coming around to the idea that faith didn't mean ignorance was when I thought about how my mom attended church every Sunday and the joy that it brought to her life. She greatly enjoys all the sermons and always found something that pertains to her life within them and genuinely takes it to heart. Her happiness led me to thinking about how she wasn't a closed-minded person, and yet she was a Christian. Then I began to see all the other members here who were the same loving, open people who cared for my well-being. As long as I were happy, so were they. I would now like to focus on verses 3 through 4. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, "Let me take the speck out of your eye," when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? First take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. I believe that we should all live by this verse, not to pay attention to the man with a speck of dust in his eye, while we might have a plank in mine, or in our own. Although I have more planks to work on, I feel as if I have been able to remove this plank from my eye and realize that to be a Christian doesn't mean you have to be a judgmental person. I also learned to tolerate the intolerant, and through that, I hope I can teach to love a little more rather than to judge all who walk on the same earth as us. I can show God's love through my love, and I hope that love will help all of these people with a plank in their eye, in their eyes, to realize that showing God's love is a much better alternative to hate. I plan to continue attending this church with my family. I love this church and its members. I will continue to be open and have conversations about faith with those I agree and disagree with. I would also like to thank my mentor, Steve White. He's an amazing listener and overall a great person. I couldn't imagine a better fit. I've had fun, and I hope we can continue a friendly relationship.
And lastly, I'd like to invite up our confirmand, Ethan Strang, and his confirmation mentor, Kevin Murphy.
Well, it has been quite a joy getting to know Ethan over these past 2 years and being able to work with him on his journey through his confirmation. I'll admit that when I was first asked, I was nervous, had a little bit of self-doubt, because this is my first time mentoring someone through confirmation. But thankfully, I had him along with this first journey, and we have walked together, and I've learned a lot personally. It was pretty amazing to see Ethan grow through this, learn a lot, and always be open to what the Bible has to say to us and teach us. And it was a joy to be with all the other confirmation students and really listen together and work through our own understanding of faith and growth and love. So Ethan, one, I'm really proud of you because I've enjoyed seeing how seriously you've taken this program and the questions that you ask and the answers that you seek. And I also want to thank you for helping me find my way a little bit more than I thought I would. So everyone, Ethan Strang.
I started my journey of faith by attending a youth group. I enjoyed the people, music, and games. I questioned God. I heard many stories about him, but science and school made me question those stories. My faith changed when I first felt the Holy Spirit. I was singing along with everyone, and all of a sudden I felt filled with happiness, and I felt loved. I felt protected by him. Shortly after, I started this confirmation journey. I learned the history of Jesus and the questions I had were answered. I believe that Jesus was sent to die on the cross for us. He has a plan for each of us. Jesus wants us to follow him, to live every day knowing he is with us to guide and protect us. When I'm scared, the thought of him next to me calms me down. It makes me feel secure. Last year, my sister and I got baptized on Mother's Day. Since that day, I felt like he died on the cross again, but for me and my sins. I know he is with me every day to help me make right choices. My mentor Kevin was there when I was baptized. We meet once a month, and our conversations have strengthened my belief. I remember talking about how the stories have been passed down through generations. The stories in the Bible have survived over 2,019 years. I no longer question God. However, I think of the game Telephone. What if those stories have been slightly changed? Would that change who I am? The verse I chose tells about Jesus has beaten death, Satan, and sin, and has rose over all evil, showing that nothing is more powerful than him. He also invites you so you too can believe in him and join him in eternal life. Matthew 28, verse 6.
We continue our worship this morning with an anthem from the choir. Band.
first lesson this fifth Sunday after Easter is from the book of Acts, the 11th chapter. Now the apostles and the believers who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also accepted the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him, saying, "Why did you go to uncircumcised men and eat with them?" Then Peter began to explain it to them, step by step, saying, "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. There was something like a large sheet coming down from heaven, being lowered by its four corners, and it came close to me. As I looked at it closely, I saw four-footed animals, beasts of prey, reptiles, and birds of the air. I also heard a voice saying to me, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.' But I replied, 'By no means, Lord, for nothing profane or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' But a second time the voice answered from heaven, 'What God has made clean, you must not call profane.' This happened three times. Then everything was pulled up again to heaven. At that very moment, three men sent to me from Caesarea arrived at the house where we were. The Spirit told me to go with them and not to make a distinction between them and us. These six brothers also accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. He told us how he had seen the angel standing in his house and saying, 'Send to Joppa and bring Simon, who is called Peter. He will give you a message by which you and your entire household will be saved.' And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them, just as it had upon us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' If then God gave them the same gift that he gave us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could hinder God?" When they heard this, they were silenced, and they praised God, saying, "Then God has given even to the Gentiles the repentance that leads to life." Let us pray. Lord, we pray for your church. We know there are millions who have not heard your good news. Take away the things that divide your people and unite us so that we may work on our common purpose to make disciples of all nations. Show us your way of achieving that purpose. Help us to know your will. Let the Holy Spirit touch, lead, and guide all peoples throughout the earth, especially those who are affirming their baptism today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
The second lesson this morning is from Revelation, the 21st chapter. "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away.' And the one who was seated on the throne said, 'See, I am making all things new.' Also he said, 'Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true.' Then he said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water as a gift from the spring of the water of life.'" Let us pray. Lord, we give you thanks and praise for who you are and what you do. You have created and redeemed us and given us eternal salvation. You have chosen to love us and care for us as your children and ask in return only for our love for you. We know you are always with us, We know that nothing can separate us from you on earth or in your eternal presence. In Jesus' name, amen.
Please rise for a reading of the gospel. Today our gospel lesson is taken from John, the 13th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify himself, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I have said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
You may be seated. I'd like to invite all the children who are with us to come forward for a children's message with Vicar Maria.
It's going to be a good one. Are we all
ready?
And you know, I remember when I was confirmed, I was just their age, and I got to wear a fancy robe like that and had a red carnation just like them. And something happened in our worship service that really sticks in my mind. There's this special blessing that we do where the pastors put their hands on my head, and then my parents and my Sunday school teachers also came up and they put their hands on me. You ever seen this done before? No? Anybody seen this done before? Does anybody know what it's called? It's really easy. It's not a trick question, I promise. It's called the laying on of hands. And at this time, in this service, we're going to do this for our confirmands. And everyone in the congregation gets to outstretch their hands in blessing as well. Do you know where this came from? This idea, this laying on of hands? Also not a trick question, probably really easy. Where do we get stuff out of? What? The Bible! You're right. So in the Old Testament, the laying on of hands was used when someone got a new and important job. Like priests or leaders, they would lay their hands on the person and say, "We are blessing you for this important work." Thanks, Jack. And then we get to the New Testament, and in the Gospels, Jesus used the laying on of hands for something else. Jesus used the laying on of hands to bless people and to heal them, to make them whole. Then, a little bit further back in the Bible, in the book of Acts, we learn about the new faith community of Christians, those believers in Jesus. And the laying on of hands took on new meaning. The laying on of hands meant You got the Holy Spirit. It was the giving and receiving of the Holy Spirit. So today, when we bless the confirmations with the laying on of hands, we remember all of those meanings, that we are blessing them to do an important job that God is calling them to do, to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we're remembering that Jesus is making them whole. And we're remembering that they're giving and receiving the Holy Spirit. So, I have something in my bag here that I think will help us remember the laying on of hands. It's my little hands. And they're funny, yes. But you each can have one so that you remember all of the things. You can take one off. All of the things that I talked about today about this laying on of hands. Yeah. Grab one. So you can each have a hand. That's okay. There you go, Levi. All right, everybody gets a hand. All right, take them, here they come. Oh no, I only have four left. Here, you guys fight over these. I have an extra in my office. Okay, you guys can have one. Oh, Ben got two of them? How did Ben get two? Ben, can you share one of them with one of the confirmants so that they can all have one? Yeah, there you go. Very good. So round of applause with your small hands. You can go like this. Maybe give someone a high five. And remember that in our worship service today, when we bless these confirmation students, all that is happening with that laying on of hands, that they are being made whole in Jesus, that they are being commissioned to do what God is calling them to do, and that they are receiving the Holy Spirit, just like us. Good? All right, you guys can head back to your seats. Thanks for coming out. I've never gotten a pause for it.
Oh, yeah, she's going last.
Oh, yeah.
This is so fun. See, I told you it'd be good.
I'm happy I came up.
Yeah.
For once, all of our teenagers were excited to come up for the children's message. Please pray with me. Lord Jesus Christ, on this day that we celebrate the affirmation of baptism, we give you thanks for the people who are part of this congregation, who lift up our young people in faith. And we give you thanks for their witness. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So I just heard five really great sermons, so I'll keep mine brief. I know when I went through confirmation, like Vigor Maria, I did not have little tiny hands. That's pretty fun. Mine was all of us, you know, 14-year-olds had to come up and recite what we had memorized, which was all of Luther's small catechism and some Bible verses. How many of you had to do that too in front of the congregation and hated it? It's really not fun. I mean, it was good and it was important. You know, I did it and I got to this place, and so it's not all bad. But I think how powerful it was, aside from having now little tiny hands that you're just, yeah, we're going to take your tiny hands away, Gavin.
I'll give them to you after worship.
But I love that in this service, instead of having you recite what we've taught you, you got to tell us your story. You got to share with us your witness. And I think how different it is than when I went through confirmation. You know, we were all baptized as infants and then waited until 14 years later and then just regurgitated what we were told. Here, two of you were baptized a year ago and one of you was baptized in the last 30 minutes and four out of five of you had complete strangers as your confirmation mentors before you started. And I would bet money that if I asked you guys to recite the explanation of Luther's small creed that I know we covered in great detail, none of you could do it. This is not your mama's confirmation. And I'm okay with that. Because God is unchanging in an ever-changing world. And as a church that professes Jesus Christ as our Savior to the world, we have to figure out what that means. You are helping us figure out what that means. People of God, our world is changing. Our church is changing. Our witness and our outreach is changing, and growing pains can be difficult because it's always intimidating when what we've always understood and the things that we've always done are pushed and challenged and changed. Maybe that means that how we've always related and understood God as a child will change and mature, as it has for you during this time of confirmation. Mm-hmm. Maybe it means how you've always related and understood God as a teenager will be changed and challenged as you mature into adulthood. Maybe it means how we've always understood God as an adult or a senior will change and mature as we progress in this life. I know as all of you were working on your statements of faith, one of the things I heard from many of you again and again and again was, gee, I hope we get teeny tiny hands. What I heard from you again and again from many of you was, how can I write a statement of faith? What if it changes? What if what I say in front of this congregation changes next week or next month or next year? And what did I say to all of you? That's okay. In fact, I said, of course it will. And I hope it will. You're teenagers. You have a lot of life left to struggle with for your growth and relationship with God to grow and change, to shrink and struggle, to soar and solidify, to wane and waver and to stand firm. And if your relationship with God is exactly the same 10 years from now as it is today, or 20 years from now, or 30 years from now, then you're not really putting time or effort into that relationship with God, are you? I hope that it grows and matures and changes, sometimes through struggle, sometimes through great joy, sometimes through silliness like tiny little plastic hands. But those questions that you all have, those things that you brought up, those questions you have about biblical authors or creation or evil you see in the world, maybe those will become clearer. Maybe they'll always be the crux of your theological struggle. But Rachel and Layla and Savannah and Gavin and Ethan, I'm pretty sure you won't remember what I've said here today. And I'm pretty sure none of them will either. They hear me talk all the time. But I guarantee the love that your mentors showed to you and the message that you all shared with this congregation, your messages of your struggles to understand forgiveness, your messages of being a role model to your younger sisters, of persevering through hardship, of witnessing love in a world of hate, and of being transformed by the Holy Spirit. That message will last in their minds and in their hearts. Because your witness today is what church is all about. Wearing white robes, getting your photo taken to go up on the wall in Murr Hall, reading Luther's Small Catechism, these are important parts of our tradition, and they help define who we are as a community with others. Our tradition carries on our history, but your witness carries on our story. The story of Jesus Christ, who proclaimed to his first disciples and who says to us today, love one another as I have loved you.
By this command, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Amen.